I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. I am very happy to be here today. I'm not being sarcastic. Of course I'm happy to be here today. I love what I do. And I'm very excited because I was having a bit of a dilemma, and my husband and I have worked out the dilemma. And so it's exciting to me. And it's a very exciting day because yesterday was a very exciting anniversary. And so, it's wonderful to be a part of this liberty movement. I'm going to tell you, it's exhausting sometimes. It really is. My schedule is absolutely insane. And I live on social media, and the show operates by educating myself on the current events of the day, which means I have to watch the media every day. That is very damaging to your psyche. Can I just mention to you, it is not healthy for any single person to be so completely consumed by the media and social media, what's going on. It alters the way you think about things. It elevates your blood pressure. It makes you react differently to stimulus. It's just not healthy. And so I have to try to keep myself balanced. And I stress out over stuff sometimes. Can you imagine stressing out over stuff? No, everybody stresses out over stuff. I mean, this is my job. This is not only what I love to do, but this is what I do. This is my job. And so, you know, I am going to Haiti, as my family is part of a mission team to Haiti, and we always go to Haiti twice a year. My husband and my son are already there. They will be there 3 months before I get there. Can I mention to you that that only adds to my stress? The fact that I have now been separated from my husband and my son for nearly 2 months. That is difficult. I don't know, even in our lifestyle, being used to separation and that sort of thing, it is a little stressful. And I hope you don't mind me sharing my burdens with you this morning, but let's just chat a little bit. And I'm excited about eliminating this dilemma, I want to tell you. So I will be in Haiti for 30 days. And it's difficult to have internet in Haiti. It's difficult to operate a media-based business from Haiti, a media-based mission. And so we have finally worked it out. I thought that I was going to have to run reruns of the show for the next 30 days, but nope, that has been fixed. And so now you will get original shows being broadcast from Haiti. How amazing is that? I mean, I'm absolutely stunned at the technology. I want to show you the sort of contradiction we have here, right? That's not the word I'm looking for. It's absolutely insane. We are in Haiti, being a service to a village that has no water, no electricity. They live in grass huts. but they can have cell phones with 4G wireless internet. Really? I mean, you have solar power chargers, you can buy generators, and they have 4G internet access. How do you make sense of that when we have the technology that a village with grass huts can have cell phones with 4G technology, but we can't bring them any water? Why is that? Well, that's why we're there, by the way. We are there to help them have water and to help them have real structures and to help them have real life ability to have businesses and an economic system and, yes, capitalism, where they can have a free market system and participate in prosperity and learn about liberty. These are the things that we're doing. And I'm just happy to be a part of that. I'm happy to have a resolution to that problem. What an amazing answer to prayer. And what a wonderful sort of burden off my shoulders, not worrying about that sort of thing. And so those of you who enjoy hearing my show every day, I thank you for that, by the way. I thank you for looking forward to the Chris Ann Hall Show. It really, really, really lifts my spirit. And I want you to know how touched I am by the support that I get to do what I do. You know, I'm not making $1 million, and I'm not Sarah Palin, where I charge $250,000 per speech. And so my reward comes in different ways. And my reward comes from you. And my reward comes from knowing that you and I are working together. Working together to create, prosper, and secure liberty for our generations, doing what our framers did to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And I just want to thank you for being part of that. And in that spirit, I want to talk about a very important anniversary that we had yesterday. October 25th, 1774. The women of Edenton, North Carolina, led by a patriotic woman by the name of Penelope Barker, gathering the patriotic colonial women together to protest the king and this usurpation, this destruction of the rights guaranteed of Englishmen. The rights guaranteed to them for hundreds of years, 700 years, and the king and parliament just completely denying them, issuing arbitrary rule of law, engaging in arbitrary execution of law, and denying the people representation, raiding their homes with warrantless searches, mandating that they purchase items that the government say they must purchase. And so these women, in the home of Elizabeth King in Edenton, North Carolina, October 25th, 1774, signed a pledge. Penelope said, "Maybe it's only been the men who have protested the king up to now. Maybe that only means we women have taken too long to let our voices be heard." She said, "We're signing our names to a document, not hiding ourselves behind costumes like the men in Boston did at their tea party." She said, "The British will know who we are." And they signed this pledge that they would purchase no English-made goods until the laws that had enslaved their people were repealed. And this is part of the pledge. Quote, "As we cannot be indifferent on any occasion, that appears nearly to affect the peace and happiness of our country. And, as it has been thought necessary, for the public good, to enter into several particular resolves, by a meeting of members, deputed from the whole province, it is a duty which we owe, not only to our near and dear connections, who have concurred in them, but to ourselves, who are essentially interested in the welfare, to do everything as far as lies in our power to testify our sincere adherence to the same. And we do therefore accordingly subscribe this paper as a witness of our fixed intention and our solemn determination to do so. 52 women signed this resolution on October 25th, 1774, promising to refuse to comply with the laws that were being passed contrary to their constitution and in a violation of their liberty. Where are the women today who will take a pledge and send their names to the government and say, we will refuse to comply? Not because we're worried about our paychecks and not because we don't want to pay our due fair share, because we have a duty which we owe not just simply to our children, but to the one who gave us those rights. And I think perhaps just to stick our finger up the nose of the feminists who want us to believe that our colonial women, that our liberty-loving women were not in existence, that they were all weak, scared, oppressed, subservient to their men. When we come back, I'm going to read you their names and honor their sacrifice.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Don't you think it important for our daughters to know who these people are? How many do not even know? I want to tell you, as I travel across the country and I ask this question, because I do, I ask it on purpose all the time. Who held the second Tea Party meeting? Well, guess what? I rarely find anybody who has not been taught by me, who knows the women of Edenton, North Carolina. These women put their lives on the line. They put their husbands' lives, they put their whole family's lives on the line. They would be charged with treason, and every person on this list carrying their last name would be charged with treason. And they knew, with the majority of the names on this list belonging to men who were English merchants, that they would not only lose their jobs, but could even lose their lives. And we don't even know who they are. So if you'll indulge me this few minutes, we're going to honor the women of Edenton, North Carolina, who said liberty is worth more than a paycheck. It's worth more than the lives of the men who will bring it home, because it is our gift from God and a gift we must secure for our children. And regardless of the consequences, we will stand, and we need to know their names. Abigail Charlton, Mary Blount, F. Johnstone, Elizabeth Creasy, Margaret Cathcart, Elizabeth Patterson, Anne Johnstone, Jane Wellwood, Margaret Pearson, Mary Woolard, Penelope Dawson, Sarah Beasley, Jean Blair, Susanna Vale, Grace Clayton, Elizabeth Vale, Frances Hall, Mary Jones, Mary Creasy, Anne Hall, Rebecca Bonfield, Ruth Benberry, Sarah Littlejohn, Sarah Howkett, Penelope Barker, Sarah Hoskins, Elizabeth P. Ormond, Mary Littledale, M. Payne, Sarah Valentine, Elizabeth Johnston, Elizabeth Cricket, Mary Bonner, Elizabeth Green, Lydia Bonner, Mary Ramsay, Sarah Howe, Anne Horniblow, Lydia Bennett, Mary Hunter, Marion Wells, Tressia Cunningham, Anne Anderson, Elizabeth Roberts, Anne Houghton, Elizabeth Beasley, A Society of Patriotic Ladies, who declared that they were willing to take a stand and proclaim loudly and boldly, we will not comply. We need a society of patriotic women today. We need some women who are willing to take that stand. I am willing. Who will resurrect the Edenton Tea Party? Who will bring to us women who say, liberty is worth more than a paycheck. It's worth more than the lives of the men and women who will bring it home. And I just think that we need to honor them today. And I want to know who is with me. Can we take today to teach our children and our family members and those of us who have a love for liberty to share the names of those who sacrificed so much for us? I love these women. I love these women with all my heart. And I believe that they deserve this honor. So join me today as we honor them. And we honor the liberty every day that they sacrificed everything for us. That's why we are here. Liberty over security. Principle over party. Truth over our favorite personality. Because the women of Edenton are worth it.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, moving on. Let's do something else. I can't believe how far we've come that we don't even know who these women are. Penelope Barker was an amazing woman. She birthed 5 children. She raised 4 of her husband's children from a previous marriage. And by 1761, 7 of her children had died. And in 1772, her son, Thomas Hodgson, died at the early age of 25. Her lone surviving child, Betsy Barker, also left with Penelope's care, became a prominent planter of Pittsylvania County, Virginia. I just wish that our sons and daughters really knew how amazing these women were, and who they, not only who they were, but the children that they raised to become patriots. The patriots who would maintain liberty for us. And so let's talk a little bit about that liberty today, because there's so much that we don't teach, and so much we don't know, and so much that we've forgotten, even in the way that we speak. Ted Cruz was at a campaign event on October 23rd and said that the U.S. is one liberal Supreme Court justice away from going after the individual right to keep and bear arms with the intent of hampering, if not abolishing, the exercise of that right. He says, one more liberal justice and our right to keep and bear arms will be taken from us by an activist court. Now, I am reading a Breitbart article because when I read that, I was really alarmed by what Ted Cruz said. And we should be very alarmed by what Ted Cruz says. One more liberal justice and our right to keep and bear arms will be taken away from us by an activist court. And I want to tell you, my first gut reaction was, Ted Cruz, you are so wrong. There is not a single judge on this planet. There was never even a single king on this planet who could take away our right to keep and bear arms. That is an inalienable right that is inherent in our natural right of self-preservation. Samuel Adams said that's inherent of the first law of nature. The first law of nature being our right to self-preservation. And so when I read that, I thought, you know, somebody needs to say something about this because Ted Cruz is wrong. And I'm reading in this Breitbart article that Ted understands that it's not a right that government can take away from us. I'm glad that somebody at Breitbart followed up on this, because this is very alarming that a senator of the United States, whom many appear to believe is one of the most constitutional senators that we have, would make such a statement. And so they followed up and said and interviewed him, and he said to Breitbart that America was founded on a revolutionary concept, namely that our rights don't come from government, they come from God Almighty. The natural rights of man include life, liberty, and property. Each of those rights is dependent upon being able to preserve the safety and security of your own family. He said, in fact, the first Congress not only acted to protect our Second Amendment rights, but mandated the Militia Act that adult freemen must own a musket. Now, I want to point out something here. All right, first let me say this is not an endorsement of Ted Cruz for president, okay? I hate to sort of interject that, but there's a rumor going around that I endorse Ted Cruz for president. Anybody who knows anything about me knows I do not endorse presidential candidates. And I have actually made the statement that I don't understand why anybody would believe that Ted Cruz running for president is a promotion for Ted Cruz. If we are operating constitutionally, Ted Cruz running for president is a demotion. Because being a senator is supposed to have more power and is supposed to have more respect than being president. But because we have no understanding of the proper placement of power in government, no proper understanding of the proper role of government, and no proper understanding of the actual operation of the Constitution itself, we believe that the president is the leader of the country and the most powerful man and the representative of America. Simply not so. And so I just want to sort of squash that right now. This is not an endorsement of Ted Cruz. This is using Ted Cruz's own words as a teaching moment for liberty. And so, whereas Ted Cruz clearly understands that our right to keep and bear arms is an inalienable right. And by the way, this little quote from Breitbart of Ted Cruz is simply a paraphrase of an essay that Samuel Adams wrote in 1772 called The Rights of the Colonists, in which Samuel Adams wrote, among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, life; secondly, liberty; third, property, together with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. Samuel Adams would go on and to say that this is the result of our natural rights resulting from the first law of nature, our law of self-preservation. But here's the problem with what Ted Cruz is doing. And this is what we need to do. You see, we have been brainwashed for so long that we inadvertently speak incorrectly. Hey, guilty. I am guilty as well. And so we have to make a collective, an active effort to fix how we speak. Because what we speak controls what we think. Because we say things like Second Amendment rights. And because we say things that like judges can take away our rights, or an activist court can remove our rights. What we actually do is develop a mentality in our own minds, even though we might know the truth. We develop a mentality in our own minds that creates a crack in the foundation. But not only that, this is very, very, very dangerous speech. How many people in America today have never even read the Bill of Rights? Have no idea what it says. Now think about how many have not read. Okay? Then think of those who maybe have read the Bill of Rights, who have absolutely no understanding of its historical origin. No idea where it came from, or even why it's there. There are people who have read the Bill of Rights who believe that the Bill of Rights was an afterthought, an indication that our framers understood that the Constitution was flawed and that they had to hurry back and fix it. There are those who read the Bill of Rights who believe that the Bill of Rights was created as an additional limitation to the federal government. Not true. None of those statements are true. So now that we have a vast majority of Americans who have never even read the Bill of Rights, and of that, those who have, the minority who have never been educated on its origin or its purpose. And so when people like Ted Cruz, and I'm going to tell you, I have been guilty as well. So you can search through my archives and find where Chris Ann Hall has said things like constitutional rights or Second Amendment rights or First Amendment rights. And I try to go back and correct those as I can. But this is a brainwashing that has occurred for a very, very long time. And it's something that we have to overcome, and it's never going to be fixed until we start fixing the way we speak and the way we think. And so whereas Ted Cruz may appear to understand that our rights do not come from the documents, they do not come from government, they come from God. And in that much, men and government cannot take them away. We need to start speaking more clearly and more accurately so that we can educate on the truth. Because just that statement actually empowers those who want to take our rights from us. Do you see, when we speak that way, we give power to those who want to take our rights? Well, Ted Cruz even said that the activist court could take away our rights. Ted Cruz even said that it's the Supreme Court who determines how our rights are applied. Ted Cruz said that the Supreme Court can issue a ruling that declares that we no longer have the right to keep and bear arms, and then we don't have it. Is that what Ted Cruz said? No, but that's what he implied by his statement. And that's how speaking incorrectly grows the threat to liberty. And so I just want to use this as a little teaching tool, as a way for us to understand. I am not making mountains out of molehills. This is slippery slope is a real phenomenon. Okay? It is a real phenomenon. It is a fallacy of logic. But it is a real phenomenon. It happens. Because you see, our liberties are taken from us not by action, but by slow, incremental changing of how we think and how we act. Your rights are gone when you act like they are. But when your brain thinks they are, then that's the way you act. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, liberty over security and principle over party and truth over our favorite personality means that somebody needs to tell Ted Cruz that he needs to speak more precisely. I'm not being presumptuous. I'm not being arrogant, okay? I'm just being precise and correct because this matters. It really, really matters. With the level of ignorance that has permeated America about our rights, this matters. And I want to use another, because all you can find today is people talking about presidential candidates and interviewing presidential candidates. So this is where our teaching lessons are going to come from. And our teaching lesson comes from NBC's Meet the Press host Chuck Todd interviews Ben Carson on his plan to use the Department of Education to police universities and colleges' political speech and deny funding in cases of extreme political bias. And so this is a double-sided teaching moment, and we're going to try to move this quickly because it's something that we need to cover. Okay. Carson says, this is not just spouting off. I've thought about this. The way that works is you invite students at the universities to send in their complaints, and then you investigate. Chuck Todd asks, how is what you're advocating not a violation of the First Amendment? Carson countered, it's not a violation of the First Amendment. All I'm saying is taxpayer funding should not be used for propaganda. Chuck Todd says, your definition of propaganda could be what somebody else views as free speech. Carson answers, well, that's why I said we're going to have the students send in and we will investigate. End quote. Your right to free speech is not secured in a private university, okay? If you are on private property, if you are in a private business, if you are in a private function, your Tea Party meeting does not guarantee you free speech because your Tea Party meeting is not a government function. You speak on the permission of those who own and operate that property at the moment. However, if a university is receiving federal funding, then it becomes a government actor and it must provide avenues for free speech. It must provide avenues for free speech. The way that you deal with professors who teach things that aren't true is that you control the university through free market society. Problem is that when universities receive federal funding, then they're exempt from free market, right? And so here's the dilemma when you have government in education. Here's the dilemma when you have federal government in education, because you see, federal government is not supposed to be in education, period. And so the solution to this is not to establish speech police, as Carson is advocating here. And this is exactly what he's advocating, is speech police. I feel his dilemma. We have federal funding being used by professors to teach things that are simply not true. And the answer is not speech police on campuses, where people can turn each other in based on speech. Oh my goodness, that is stinking scary. The real answer is that you get the federal government out of the education business, period. Because they have no business there. Your tax dollars funding education is a violation of the limited nature of our government. And that's what we need to be pushing for. Not expanding government through speech police, but limiting government by getting them out of the education business, period. I hope you've enjoyed these teaching lessons today, because it really, really, really does matter. Thank you for the support. God bless. See you tomorrow.